Now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Nahastan aniva nijone go shavothya, nijone go shavothya. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Yeah.
music from the drum Whitetail off Arbor Record CD, Thunder Drums number 2. That honor song was called For Our People, exemplifying the native ethic of caring for the well-being of one's tribe or community. Ashkwe greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. My guest today is a spokesperson for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, Mr. Gerardo Reyes Chavez. We are together here in Immokalee, Florida, participating in a week-long encuentro. Mr. Chavez is a farm worker who, along with fellow Coalition of Immokalee Workers, have courageously organized themselves to fight against the many social and economic injustices endured by laborers exploited over the years in the agricultural industry, as is the case here in Southwest Florida. We will be talking more about the coalition's struggle for worker rights to fair wages and decent working and living conditions, as well as CIW's precedent-setting victory in the Yum Brands Taco Bell boycott campaign. Gerardo is one of the organizers of the Encuentro, a very special gathering of student and youth activists from across the country who are dedicated to global justice. These young people work together as the National Student Farm Worker Alliance, SFA. The SFA supports the farm worker movement. They were a major part of Coalition of Immokalee Workers' battle against Taco Bell. The SFA continues to support the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and is working on anti-globalization issues, especially those related to multinational agribusiness. Yad Kiddushi Native Center is very honored to work with both SFA and CIW and participate in this first Immokalee Encuentro. Encuentro, a Spanish term for meeting, gathering, or encounter, was convened from August 1st through the 7th, 2005, in Immokalee, Florida. The students, youth activists, and community organizers came together to share skills, knowledge, and experience. They were truly a diverse, dedicated, and talented group of people. The way in which the week-long dialogue took place was very special. Event organizers, trainers, and participants were careful to ensure equality and respect for all. Everyone was very open to issues of power dynamics, such as racism, gender, sexism, economic status, class privilege, and white supremacy. It takes great effort to listen and make agreements based on inclusion, consent, and consensus. In Indigenous people's culture, we follow a traditional council circle way of gathering, using the Galuska Watanabe talking stick or talking feather. In this way, all have respect for each other. All listen carefully to each other without bias or judgment. This ethic encourages everyone to consider how one's words and actions will impact the well-being of all life for 7 future generations. I want to share a paragraph from the Encuentro booklet entitled Listen and Build. Quote, "We envision a space in which all voices are heard, seeing and hearing one another in our full humanity, where everyone feels comfortable to contribute and barriers between experts and audience are broken down. It's also extremely important that we confront the power hierarchies that we observe amongst and within ourselves and oppressive attitudes and behaviors we have internalized and continue to perpetuate even as activists," unquote. The week-long Immokalee Encuentro operated on a consensus-based model, trying to be non-hierarchical, making sure everyone's voices and concerns were heard, while also promoting group cohesion and participation. In the spirit of the Indigenous Zapatista movement in Chiapas, the Student Farm Worker Alliance Encuentro participants believe in direct action and direct democracy, where people and communities act through their own power to control and change their own lives for the better. This understanding of what I term cultural democracy and self-determination is also how the Coalition of Immokalee Workers tries to operate. The efforts of CIW members like Gerardo Reyes Chavez, our program guest today, exemplifies how this organizational process can serve as a model for other community movements. This is one of the important lessons from Immokalee. Immokalee is one of the battlegrounds for poor peoples and immigrant rights. The oppression and exploitation faced by our marketing workers over the years in the agricultural industry has been nothing less than modern-day slavery. In many ways, Immokalee is like a third-world country. The community demographics consists of a large percentage of people from Central America and the Caribbean. There is a small strata of wealthy business and landowners, this upper class being mostly white. The majority of the population are poor people of color. It should be no surprise to learn that this being a rural farming area, that the big powerful agricultural industry rules the region. The town of Immokalee resembles a large migrant labor camp. During the harvest season, the year-round population of approximately 14,000 people increases to approximately 30,000 persons. Most of the people are Mexican, Guatemalan, Haitian, and from other Central American countries. A large percentage of immigrants are indigenous peoples for whom Spanish is a second or third language. Some of the native languages spoken include Mam, Choi, Kanjabal, and Nahuatl. As the central booklet states, and I quote, Immokalee and its surrounding agricultural fields are, to put it simply, the direct and real-life result of free trade, militarism, capitalist exploitation, and racist oppression. It is also the site of direct and inspirational resistance to these policies by those most affected by them, unquote. The Atkinishe Native Center geographically is located nearby Immokalee. It is the town where we often shop, use the post office, visit friends on the small Indian reservation, and attend meetings at the Coalition Immokalee Workers. I mention this so that when we speak about poverty, police brutality, and racism, which are serious issues in Immokalee, that our worldwide listeners know that these conditions are from our first-hand observations of daily life in this community. Environmental justice, a major focus of Yad-Kiddushi Native Center's work and the topic of many of our Wolf Mountain Radio programs, is also very much a problem in Immokalee. This is due to the fact that agribusiness uses many highly toxic pesticides, herbicides, and chemical fertilizers in the citrus groves and vegetable fields. Many farm workers often become sick as a result of being contaminated by ag chemical sprays. There are, of course, environmental health problems affecting the local population of Immokalee due to poisonous chemicals polluting drinking water or people eating fish or food from gardens that may also be toxic. Wherever agrochemicals are used, there are always reports of high rates of cancer and even deaths. I am sure we will be talking more about this serious topic of environmental racism in my interview. Before I welcome Gerardo to our program, let me provide a little background information about the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. The Coalition is a fine community-based organization whose purpose is to advance the well-being of farm workers and their families. The organization is based in Collier County, Florida, but the Coalition is active statewide and within the National Farm Workers Movement. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers is well respected for their dedicated struggles to improve the poor working conditions of farm workers. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers fights social injustice and the conditions of poverty their members suffer from. Several of the major issues of concern are, one, ending the economic exploitation of farm labor. The major issue is the need to provide a fair living wage. The current pay level is not a livable wage. Farm workers labor in the closest situation to slavery in America. Two, the need for the agribusiness industry to actually respect farm workers and to treat them and their family fairly and with dignity. Currently, many crew bosses are very, very abusive. Three, the need to have a safe and healthy working conditions. Many times, farm workers suffer from not having proper safety measures and equipment for working in the fields. An important example of this is being properly notified of pesticide spraying schedules. Many times, farm workers are caught out in the fields and get contaminated from pesticide spray. Farm owners need to provide protective clothing, such as proper work boots and gloves, as another example. Four, the need for safe and clean homes. Many farm workers must live in overcrowded, dirty, and dilapidated conditions. These shanty shacks are not even fit for farm animals. Five, need for affordable health care, and six, I would say respect within the Immokalee community. It is now my pleasure to welcome Mr. Gerardo Reyes Chavez to Wolf Mountain Native Radio. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinawan Tokwisin, to all of our relations.
My name is Gerardo Reyes Chavez. I am a member of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, and it's an honor for us to be with Radio for Peace International, with Ness. I'm a farm worker, and as thousands of farm workers, we are here in Southwest Florida, in Immokalee, working in the fields. The tomato industry is one of the largest industries in the state of Florida and all over the East Coast, with companies that are based in Florida. We are an organization that is working to change a situation of 20 years of stagnant wages for farm workers, no right to organize, no right to overtime pay for overtime work, suffering a lot of different abuses. Like in the past, there were beatings in the fields and violence in general, living in conditions that can be only described as sweatshops in the fields, in some cases facing slavery in the fields, where workers are being forced to work against their will at gunpoint. Some of the strategies that we have used are direct or strikes to get the attention of the companies. We have done 3 general strikes with over 3,000 workers stopping from going to work with the different companies here in Immokalee. We have done a hunger strike of 30 days by 6 of our members, a march of 230 miles from 4 miles to Orlando to the Association of Fruits and Vegetables of Florida, several attempts to get the attention of the governor. But since we are excluded from the National Labor Relations Act, all of those marches and actions did create an impact. They awake the consciousness of the people in Florida. But we realized that we had to involve other big players, and that's how we, 4 years ago, started the national boycott against Taco Bell, to make them responsible, since the place with our situation is that they are one of the largest buyers of tomatoes that we pick under conditions of sub-poverty. We did alliances with students, we did alliances with a lot of churches and groups of other workers all over the United States and in some other countries. We just recently win a victory where our demands were complied in its totality.
One of the very special subjects I heard you speak last night about here at this gathering of Student Farm Worker Alliance and other allies is how the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, which is comprised of a number of different cultural peoples, Mexican people, Guatemalan people, Haitian people, Caribbean people, how the different culture people who have been labeled in the past by predominantly white European colonializing people like America as stupid or ignorant or unable to speak for themselves, and yet the CIW movement has really been so very beautiful in expression that we indigenous peoples, poor peoples, can and will speak for ourselves and will no longer tolerate colonialism in many forms, will no longer tolerate racism in many forms, that we have become very empowered by the actions that the Coalition of Immokalee Workers have been able to do over these years with their campaign. Would you please talk about the empowering feeling for yourself and many of your compañeros and brothers and sisters who now proudly speak for themselves?
This is a ongoing process, since Immokalee is one of the labor reserve, that's how it was considered before we started organizing. People come every year, new workers arrive to Immokalee, so it's always about the rights that we have as workers and about the human rights that are written down right now but are not being respected when it comes to farm workers. Once we realize who is benefiting the most from our misery, Once we know exactly who's taking the food of our table from our children, we know that there's work that has to be done. Once we start talking, one of the things that you were mentioning was this stereotype, that is where a lot of people put us when they don't know who we are, when they don't know our story, when they don't know where we're coming from. We fit in this, in the eyes of many people, as ignorant, as people that don't have an education, people that don't know how to speak or how to demand things. We are challenging these stereotypes, and we are establishing a new idea in the head of many people about who the farm workers are. Because that might be true. We were not able to go to school, not because we didn't want it, but because we were displaced from the classrooms. And then we were displaced from our land for economical trades between countries. For example, NAFTA, just to give an example. We are here as economic refugees in this country. We were displaced. We may not have a degree in a school, but we are attending to one of the most important universities, the University of Life, where you learn from each other, where you share information, and where you are a teacher and a student at the same time, and where everybody can be part of in this process. We are not only learning to develop strategies of how to fight back the system that is oppressing us every day here and in our communities, but we are learning how to learn from ourselves and how to learn from others and to share this in this university. We believe that no one can consider itself a person that achieves something in life when they go to school and they have a degree if they forget about the rest of the people. No one can be a person itself. We all need from each other, and that's how we see it. And that's how most of the things that we learn are right now in our minds and in our hearts.
This area of what's now called Southwest Florida, Immokalee, Florida, is my home as well. This is where I come and do my grocery shopping, and because of that, and I've been here now close to 17 years, I am always reminded that this is still the deep south of the United States. The other co-producer of this Native radio program, my wife, who's a Blackfoot Native woman and African American, is also a dark-skinned person. And so every day we know the reality of living in this area, that this region now called Southwest Florida is still a very racist region from at least my point of view. To me, it's kind of like South Africa. There's an apartheid system here where if you go 30 kilometers west, there's a lot of very wealthy, rich white people, and here this is an agricultural rural area that is still largely under the control of a few rich landowners, predominantly white agribusiness, agricultural companies. Would you talk about what it's like for you and other people of color, farm workers, so-called minorities, to be living in this part of America that I still consider very racist?
Well, talking about that issue, we are a part of Collier County. The decisions about city and the development and everything, and the prices of rent and everything, is according to what the people in Naples, which is one of the richest cities in the country. Here we see a very strange situation, because we are, in one side we have Naples, on the other side we have the very famous beaches of Miami. We are surrounded by the Everglades, which is something very famous when you talk about Florida. But we are lost within this paradise of wealth and beautiness. We are living in the hell, in the middle of the paradise. Just to thinking about racism, and to give an example, the police here, the police come from Naples. In Naples, there's a lot of what people here call snowbirds that go up north when it is very hot here, come back during the winter. the police come here. None of them, just like one or two officers in a population of 30,000 people, 15 of which are migrant workers that come every season, don't speak Spanish. The population speaks Spanish and the police come, and it seems like a situation similar to Iraq, where the army goes there. They don't understand the culture of the place where they are invading, and they don't understand the language. They don't know how to communicate with them. They look at the people as if they were all criminals somehow, all suspicious. That's the same way that they see us here. When a police officer come to Immokalee, they come and they saw in every person, just because you are shorty and dark-skinned and you speak an indigenous language from Central America, South America, or you speak Creole, then you are potential danger to the society. So these officers come to Immokalee, and in some cases, some examples that I know, in one case there was a Guatemalan worker that I know that was arrested, and just because he was asking in Spanish, he didn't understand what they were saying. Why were they giving him a ticket? He asked in Spanish, "Why are you like stopping me, officer?" This person was very upset, and then this Guatemalan worker was very afraid, and he took himself from the, he held down the wheel of the car because he didn't understand what was going on. And he was not like resisting or anything. He was just afraid. They took him out of the car, pulled him out through the window of the car. And one officer that weighs like 220 pounds was on top of him with his knee and his back. And then other officer, like both of them were participating with a taser gun. This officer stands up and then they shoot him 22 times in the back when this guy was not resisting. And then they said that this Guatemalan worker was just like acting violent while he was on the floor. Yeah, resisting. But the question is how somebody who weighs like 120 pounds could be resisting an arrest or could represent a threat to two officers that weighed almost twice each of them. When he was yelling, because that's what they were saying, he was yelling at us. How would you not yell if somebody is tasering you? He was in pain. And he was yelling, "Ya no, por favor. Please don't taser me anymore." That's what he was yelling, because he was in pain. And they were saying that he was yelling at them. They didn't understand what he was saying, and they kept going. So this is just one little example of a story that repeats itself in every season. Different workers being arrested under excessive force from the power of the police. That's just one example of how we see racism. The other way, or other manners that we see racism, is the way that agricultural industry that is ruled by the white people, people that have power and that have been in this position of power for so long, having this close relationship with the government, is treating us right now not as if we are human beings that deserve to have a dignifying place of work with dignifying wages, but they see us as peons. Yes. They see us as their servants. We are here to serve the industry, and we are here to shut our mouth. If we speak up, then we represent a problem, and when we represent a problem, repression comes in different levels. So that's why we are organizing, and that's why we will not stop doing this, because our dignity, our labor force is on sale, right? We are like a small business, to say it in any manner. We sell our force in order to have money to feed our family. But our dignity is not on sale. And we would not trade anything that challenges or that put our dignity in jeopardy we would not give up that, because that's the only thing that we as poor people have that is, that represents who we are, and that would not be stepped on anymore.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? We're gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talk about a revolution. I'm starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, I've been standing in the welfare line, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. It's finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution.
Apagarse el sol, pero no la luz de mi alma. En un día como hoy caminaré más despacio. En un día como hoy defenderé mi verdad. En un día como hoy te amarraré con mis brazos. En un día como hoy, porque no. Yo desde aquí te besaré en mis sueños. Mi sangre arderá por ti hasta que te pierda por tu cuerpo. En un día como hoy caminaré más despacio. En un día como hoy defenderé mi verdad. En un día como hoy te amarraré con mis brazos. En un día como hoy, porque nunca
yanga, hey, yanga, 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 Iyanga be ates hai tanko atnates ates bien ye hatasko ates ie ie io io ie ie io io ie ie io io iyanga ne jone ko hota hisno ile ne jone ko hota hisno ile ne jone ko hota hisno ne jone ko hota hisno ne jone ko hota hisno ile sha jit na ne sheko i oske isnel ke yesla hi do ni ie ie io io ie ie io io ie ie io io iyanga Da islo biyin biita ako ato Ahatwa ko na jona ko na hasha ato Iye iye iyo iyo Iye iye iyo iyo Iye iye iyo iyo iyanga Behitra ya hoteko abosen Halaya ateko yedisen Iye iye iyo iyo Iye iye iyo iyo Iye iye iyo iyo Iyanga a achini a janelingo atniko di hishtiki ahati ako iye iye iyo iyo iye iye iyo iyo iye iye iyo iyo iyanga ne jon ko ta hisko he dilanga ne jon ko ta hisko he dilanga iye iye iyo iyo iye iye iyo iyo iye iye iyo Iyo iyanga Ne jone ko hota hisno ile Ne jone ko hota hisno ile Ne jone ko hota hisno Ne jone ko hota hisno Ne jone ko hota hisno ile Iye iye iyo iyo iyanga Iye iye iyo iyo iyanga Iye iye iyo iyo Iye iye iyo iyo Iye iye iyo iyo iyanga
You are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yarkidichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yarkidichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yarkidichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yarkidichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yarkidichi's Kinonwatakusi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yarkidichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yarkidichi Native Center, write to Yarkidichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yarkidichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
Music from Diné Navajo singer-songwriter Ramia Cody off her Kenyon Records CD, Spirit of a Woman. The song was entitled Grandmother and Mother's Legacy. Prior to our Yarkidichi Native Center program identification, you heard a marimba song entitled Jolan Kanob from the Guatemalan band Marimba Alma Chapina. We also featured a song entitled Un Dia Normal from a Coalition of Mockley Workers CD, recorded at the Coalition's December 2004 General Assembly, which I had the privilege to attend. We also started off our music set with singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman singing Talking About a Revolution from her 1988 Elektra Records cassette, Tracy Chapman. I want to announce an important upcoming event that will be held this October 18th, 2005 at Florida Gulf Coast University, FGCU. The event is entitled Human Rights and Social Justice in the Mockley. The Tuesday evening campus forum focusing on human rights and social justice in the Mockley will feature a panel discussion with representatives from the Coalition Mockley Workers, the National Student Farm Worker Alliance, and the Guadalupe Center. This community event is free and open to the general public. It is sponsored by Florida Gulf Coast University's Center for Environment and Sustainability Education, which, as many listeners to Wolf Mountain Native Radio know, I have the honor to serve on the center's board of advisors. This public event is hosted by FGCU students and will take place at Florida Gulf Coast University's Welcome Center Auditorium. It has been a real pleasure for me to help organize this upcoming important symposium. I look forward to seeing many of our local listeners at October 18, 2005 FGCU event focusing on human rights and social justice in Immokalee. For more information about this event, please feel free to check out our Yat Kiddushi Native Center website, www.yatkiddushi.org. That's www.yatkiddushi.org, or Florida Gulf Coast University Center for Environment and Sustainability Education website, www.fgcu.edu/CESE. Once again, Florida Gulf Coast University Center for Environment and Sustainability Education website, www.fgcu.edu/CESC. And if you forget that, that's a link on our Yat Kiddushi Native Center website. I want to again thank today's program guest, Mr. Gerardo Reyes Chavez. Please listen next week to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, to hear more of my interview with Gerardo in Program 2 of our conversation about the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. I want to thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. We shall conclude today's broadcast with the drum Blackstone off their Kenyan Records CD, Back in the Day. This drum song is entitled Honoring Children's Song. As listeners to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices know, Native peoples are always concerned for the future well-being of future generations. We honor and care for our young people, knowing they will be our future leaders and caretakers of our traditional cultures and protectors of sacred Mother Earth. Once again, I thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Native Radio. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, kinan wantakwasin to all of our relations.